This is CliffCentral.com.
And welcome back to the Inspired Youth Show here on CliffCentral.com. Not often does a guest tell you that very unfortunately he is running late and he'll only be in studios from about 20 past or half past three, and then still manages to arrive at 10 past three. Fred Bahasu, welcome to the studio, my friend.
Thank you very much. I'm so humbled to be here. And yeah, finally I'm here and I can't wait to just inspire young people. And yeah,
there we go. Good. Well, it's fantastic to have you here. And again, thank you for putting in the effort and Ubering all the way from Pretoria. What happened there? Car malfunctions? The normal, every mechanic knows better than every other mechanic? Or
well,
what?
Not necessarily a car malfunction. It's like these guys at the workshop, they're telling me that by 1 o'clock the car will be done. Then when you get there, 1 o'clock, the car's not done, you know. But then yeah, the most important thing, I'm here.
I think everyone can relate to you on that one. And yes, most importantly, you are here. Yeah. So, Fred, give us a short, sweet, straight-to-the-point introduction on yourself, and then I'm going to take things further from there.
I really don't really like introducing myself because sometimes I feel like I'm not really doing justice to myself. But then let me give it a best shot. My name is Fred. I was born in a rural village in Limpopo, even though I grew up in Pretoria in Mamelodi. And basically what I do is that I'm a speaker, a keynote speaker. I'm a facilitator of team building leadership. And I do a whole lot of youth programs as well, including doing some work with you as well, Danny. And yeah, I'm just the change maker.
Change maker is, I think, a very subtle way of putting this. If I read through some of your recent accomplishments, which would be nominated within the top 100 most influential young African men of 2017, South African Men of the Year in the Youth Division of 2015, Lead SA Hero of the Month 2017. I mean, I could go on all day here, Fred, so please don't be so humble as to say you speak on stage and you're a facilitator. Fred Bahasu has spoken at a few of our Inspired Youth events down at Nasrec, and yeah, he's certainly got a message and a story to tell. So Fred, let me get straight to the point. Where did it all start for you? Of jumping up on stage and engaging and interacting and motivating, inspiring tens, if not hundreds of thousands of like-minded youngsters around the country as well as Africa. Where did that begin?
Well, I think it all began during my high schooling years. So now what would happen is that I was fortunate enough to be what they called president, or which is many people will know it as the head boy of the school. Mm-hmm. So now, because being a head boy of the school, so now and again you will be required to go on stage and say something to your fellow students. Mm-hmm. You know, and because of me knowing my fellow students, if they did not really like you or that they don't really feel what you're saying, there was no way that they would not boo you.
Right.
And then I've never been booed ever in my life. Like, I grew up being quiet and I grew up being very, very shy guy. Even today, I'm still very quiet and shy, but then I know a lot of people are like, no. It can't be, but then that's exactly how I am. So now that's where the whole thing started. And then I remember one parent, there was a parent's meeting at my school in Mamelodi. Everybody who spoke, This was my the headmaster, the chairperson of the school governing body, and everybody that spoke before me. They were complaining about our students and so forth, and I was the last person to speak. Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm the head boy of the school. I'm representing my students. Now, I can't be saying anything bad about my students. Otherwise, then, obviously, the parents are going to tell their kids that this is what your president said about you. And the following day, I was going to be in a big trouble from my students, my fellow students.
Right.
So now I had to take all the negative message that all these old people said about my fellow students, and I had to turn it around and say positive things about my fellow students. I believe that on that day, I remember that night, this is where the whole thing of me wanting to be, or the motivational speaker within me, was born.
Right.
Because I just encouraged all those parents. And afterwards, I remember one of the parents, this lady, she came to me and she said, "Young man, I think one day you will be like Nelson Mandela.
Ooh.
The way you speak, you will be a leader one day." Yo, that really revived, like something woke in me, and I just realized that actually maybe I should take this thing seriously.
Right. Okay, well, that's a very inspiring story. So you can actually remember, they say a lot of entrepreneurs can. kind of pinpoint that one situation that made their thinking go into a different stratosphere, where it's like, actually, you know what, I think I've just solidified a part of my life, and you've defined it down to that moment. Oh, that's incredible. Fantastic stuff. Okay, so I mean, the theme behind today's show, Fred, is obviously it's the first live show of the year, and it's all about the year ahead.
Yeah.
What can we expect for 2018? Obviously, as Steve Jobs famously quoted, you can only ever connect the dots of your life when you look backwards. So that obviously brings us to looking forwards. We need to create patterns. So what are some of the things you feel that perhaps you personally have learned from 2017 that were maybe rather important lessons for you to now gauge what it is exactly your angle is going to be for 2018 and onwards?
Yeah, it's so many, but then if I were to recall one or two, I've learned that there is so much that I still need to give, honestly speaking, to this continent, because I believe that especially last year, I could have done way much better than what I've done. I mean, obviously, especially when one gets these accolades that you were talking about, your yes. African top 100 most influential young Africans. I mean, that comes with a lot of heavy weight on me, because like a lot of people are expecting so much yes. from me, you know. And I believe that those people did not really make a mistake by saying that this is what this guy deserves. So I believe that there is still so much that I need to give, and not only to give, but then to also teach as well our young people. Just last night, late last night, around like 10-11 p.m. this girl, she sent me a message, and she says, Fred, I want you to help me. Then I ask, okay, but then how can I help you? I receive these almost daily. Then she says, I want you to help me, I want to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't really help people to be famous. I mean, I've never wanted to be famous. Even today, I don't want to be famous.
Fred Bahasu, producer, extraordinaire, artist management.
Then yeah. I said, but nah. How am I going to help you? Then I started asking about them, why do you want to be famous?
Yeah.
She says, no, I want to be like you to be famous. I said, I'm not really famous. Right. I said, well, if you want to be like me, then it means that you will have to communicate with strangers just like I'm doing now. And strangers will be telling you that they want to be famous in the middle of the night. Then I said, look here, if you want to be like me, then you need to put a whole lot of work. I said, it took me 14 years.
Yeah.
14 years for me to be where I am.
Yep.
And it was hard work, dedication. You have to be selfless leader. You have to dedicate a lot of your time, your resources to the people that even probably you will never even come across one day.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when someone does, and that's brought me to two questions. If someone does ask you, hey, Fred, listen, buddy, I want you to help me be famous. I mean, that's quite a broad question there. I mean, some of the things that we obviously ask.
Maybe I must refer them to you.
Well, I mean, I usually answer them back with a question. We also get engaged quite often. And it's like, well, I always say to them, if you could, or when, you finally appear on the cover of a magazine, what magazine is that? Because if you want to be famous, if you want to be on the cover of GQ for style as a Mops Mapanyana or Sia Bayeli or that kind of stuff, or do you want to be on Men's Health, or do you want to be on Garden and Home, or are you Forbes Entrepreneur, etc., those kind of magazines, where's your focal point? And that kind of makes him define it a little bit more so as to exactly, but sure, that is a rather interesting request. Fred, please, make me famous if you don't mind ever so much. The second question I actually wanted to ask you there was, all these awards and accolades that you have been nominated for, won, etc., and obviously judge sometimes and sit as panelists, do you look after your own PR and put things out to them, i.e. are you nominated because you enter competitions? Is it that sort of format? Or is it because you have 14 years of experience, you've got a name within the industry, and nominations come your way organically? Mm.
Now, the crazy part is that I don't have there is no PR behind my name. None
sure.
whatsoever. And I don't remember myself entering any of these competitions. None.
Right.
Whatsoever. It's either I will receive a call, I will receive an email, an inbox, one of those things.
Yeah.
That, okay, we've nominated you, or we think that you deserve this, do you think that you can be part of this? So there is no PR whatsoever. So I think 14 years, it's a long time.
I was going to say that. I think that's exactly where it is, and I think you've answered that perfectly. I mean, there are those competitions that you can enter for social stars and TV present and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, here again, looking at your bio, you speak at corporate events, workshops, schools, government functions, church functions, prisons, career expos, parents and community conference summits, camps, and other specialized events. So after
14, and can I tell you about the prison part?
One second. I think with that kind of caliber of where it is that you speak, you've certainly built up quite a persona behind it. Because I mean, for me to find you wasn't too difficult at all. Please do carry on. Talk me through talking to prisons.
So now, I've never imagined myself speaking to prisoners.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for me, inmates, it's like it's a dangerous place to go to. And for me, it was like if one has to speak to inmates, you really need to know your story.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, they are inmates. So now, one day I was sitting at home, then all of a sudden I receive a call. I see that it's a landline from Johannesburg. Then I answer a call. Then this guy says, "Hi, my name is Brian so-and-so, and I'm an inmate at Johannesburg prison." I'm like, oh, flip.
What did I do?
No, I was like, where did he get my numbers? Okay. I mean, this guy, he's in prison and he's an inmate. So now, where did he find my numbers? You know, forgetting that, I mean, my numbers are all over the internet. So now he says, "Look here, man, I heard you on radio, this and that radio, and I was really inspired. Me and the guys inside here were really inspired by your story, and we would like you to come and do a talk
in at the prison.
At the prison." Then I'm like, "My guy, please give me a call tomorrow. I'm kind of like busy." I was not busy, like I was doing nothing.
Yeah,
like,
you just need to digest.
"I'm busy now. Please give me a call tomorrow."
Right.
So this guy's "Okay, what time?" Then I said, "Okay, around this time tomorrow." Then okay, tomorrow he gave me a call. Obviously, like I had to go through everything. Like I had to really research. I mean, how safe will I really be, and will really these guys really listen to me? And I started actually trying to get more info from my friends who have been speaking for quite a number of years. None of them has spoken to the inmates. Then I was like, oh my goodness, now what am I going to do it? So now, and yeah, I went there with, like, I had to go for a meeting first with the, not only the inmates, they were like the leaders of the inmates, but then also the center manager and blah blah blah, all the leaders. And afterwards, they said, okay, no, we go ahead. Then we did a 2 days workshop. I learned more, I believe. I took out more than what those guys took from me. Like, those 2 days, it really blew my mind. I'm
really
smart guys in there.
Okay, well, that's very encouraging. Fantastic. So tell me, what did you talk about? What were some of the topics you were covering over the two-day workshop?
Well, the main thing I was talking more, because like, I had to really speak from the heart, you know.
But any past experience of being in prison from your side? You can't really speak from too much experience. Or am I wrong? Have you been locked up several times?
No.
Okay. So
Not once. But now I was speaking about personal development. I was speaking about, okay, everybody can make a difference. I had to be honest with them that, look here, I can't really tell you about the life in prison. I've never been there.
Yeah.
I don't really wish to be here, and I can never say I will never be here. I can never say never, you know. But now what I said is that, look here, you guys, you did whatever that you did. I don't care about it. But then I'm here to try and change your mind. I'm here to try and tell you that, look here, you are smart. Obviously, one day you will get out of here, but now you need to know that when you get out of here, what are you going to be? Because obviously people have painted you with the red brush that, look, you never amount to anything. So I kind of like had to be like a big brother to them,
right?
And to say that, look here, I mean, we are waiting for you guys to get out, be with us, and help us to build the country. Then I had to obviously make an example of a man who spent 27 years in prison, and the next thing, he goes on to be the most famous and most respected man in the world. And I said, I mean, if he can do it, I mean, surely you can also do something with your life. So more of also leadership as well, you know.
Right. Well, there's some powerful stuff there. And do you have any more plans to speak at any more prisons in the near future?
Well, almost about 3 to 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do go to be invited to come and either do a talk if they've got like a huge event happening there, or I will run your leadership workshop and so forth. So it will also depend on the invitation if I'm available. But then, you know, the more years go, then one gets to be tied up with a whole lot of work that I do. But then I always love to go back to the guys and, yeah, just encourage them.
Right. Okay. So Fred, I mean, you and I met, I think it was probably about last year or the year before, and I was always impressed with some of the stuff that you've done. You get asked to speak at a huge amount of events, which is fantastic, and you carry those lessons and that motivation and that. So, I mean, I remember very clearly that when you spoke at our event at Inspired Youth, at Youth Inspired Month, Youth, at yeah. Nazareth, every year that we do, and we'll be announcing our calendar just now, so take note, people. But every year we run an event, a huge event at Nazareth, run 2 Saturdays in a row. I believe this year it's the 10th and the 17th of June, obviously celebrating Youth Month, and we get about 4,000 people each Saturday into Hall 10 at Nazareth Center, and we bring on some fantastic speakers, much like Fred. We've had Danny Kay and Gigi LeMain, DJ Fresh, Questa, this one, that one, Chad LeClos, and they'll come, they share their stories. You got up there last year and you started doing this, and you did it in your vernacular, but you started going bah, 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 and you had this story about this car. And if you could please elaborate on the story about the car, because I thought it was a brilliant way to start it. And I mean, I've got it on video, and what you did to that audience is absolutely fantastic. What's the story about the car?
Well, basically, the story about the car is that two guys go to, what do you call a place where, like, it's just a scrapyard.
They go
to scrapyard and they see a car. Then one is just a very intelligent guy. Then another one, he's a mechanic. So now this mechanic guy, he shows this very smart guy. He says, do you know that this is a very important car? This is a smart car. This is like, this car is the car. So now this guy, he looks that... The smart guy, he looks at the car and he says, but now the problem is that, I mean, it's rusty. Yeah. It hasn't moved probably in years. Then the mechanic, he says, now the car, we don't look at the car. He says, don't look at the car by the outer appearance, the body of it. He says, the car, we judge the car by the engine of the car.
Right.
Then this guy, he asks, what do you mean? Then he gets inside this car, which is rusty, which I mean it has been said that it will never move.
Yeah.
Forget about the car, it's an old car. So now the mechanic, he gets inside the car, then when he hit the ignition, I always say that then the car started speaking in tongues and it started going up. Now this guy was very shocked that, wow, I mean, how possible is it? Then he said, because of the engine. So now I always tell young people that now the engine, it's the mind.
Yes.
So now the rusty car, the body, which is dirty and so forth, it might be how you look, it might be where you come from, it might be the school that you go to, but now the most important part is the engine, which is actually the mind.
Yes, I like that. Okay, so it's what's in your mind and soul and your spirit and your inner personality that brings it through. It's fantastic. Okay, I like that. So now, one of the things obviously I do want to talk to you about is we're at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting excited. Everyone's either starting up with the New Year's resolutions or possibly finishing off with the New Year's resolutions already, kind of going to their third session at gym and thinking, yeah, I'm not going to go back there. But with the year to come, I'm sure you've got some exciting things on the go. How important is it to plan ahead? How important is it to keep that diary and set calendar and work backwards in timing and that? Do you plan ahead? And what's the importance of that?
I have to plan ahead. I mean, for me to be here in the studio, I believe it's because of I did a super great work the last time that I spoke at your event.
Correct.
You know, on that day, I told my friend Duncan, I said, Duncan, this guy, he's giving me a huge platform. I'm going to speak in front of 4,000 young people. This is a huge event. I'll be sharing stage with Danny Kaye. I said, look here, I don't care if Danny Kaye is there. He's a superstar, but then I'm going to kill it. You can put me next to anybody. I don't care. As long as I'm going to speak to young people, I'm just going to kill it. And I made sure that I nailed it because I knew that, I mean, if I can kill it, there is no way that I won't have another opportunity. I mean, like, look at where I am today because of the great work that I did. But now I had to prepare.
Correct.
I really had to prepare. So now it's very important. So how I will do it, every year, December, I make sure that I prepare for the following year. Like, I would not really wait for Jan to come and say, okay, now I want to prepare. You know, like we have to always anticipate. Because of now, if you don't anticipate, then, I mean, things will caught you off guard.
Yeah.
So I always have, every person has to anticipate whatever that will come, which is to prepare. Prepare is the most important thing. There is no way that one can be the greatest in whatever that you want to do if you're not prepared.
If you're unprepared.
You have to be prepared.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, and I mean, with the industry that you're in, obviously speaking and calendars always are changing, what is your daily routine? I mean, where do you sit on a daily, is there a daily routine? It's difficult in our world, isn't it? I mean, it's like, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I know I've got to be here on radio at certain times, certain place every Monday. That's relatively easy. But the daily routine, is there anything that...
With me, probably with other speakers and anybody who's in my industry, it might be different. But mm-hmm. Now, with me, it's quite weird. I do a lot of work during the night.
Okay.
To be honest, that's why almost every day I sleep around 12, 1 early in the morning. Those are the times that I would normally do. Because, like, I mean, my daily routine, remember that I also run a non-profit organization, which takes like 50% of my time. Yes. Almost every day I need to do something regarding that. At least like 2 hours, I need to spend 1 to 2 hours doing whatever that I need to do through our non-profit organization.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, like, one, I mean, I watch and read a lot of material on speaking, on marketing, on branding, on leadership, anything that involves me. Like, I really need to, I do a lot of reading. I watch a lot of videos as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how one gets to grow.
You consume a lot of content.
A lot. There is no way that a day can go by without me reading or watching videos. None. Like, every day. Like, right. I'm used to it. I'll spend like 2 hours reading and just watching videos. So, like, that's one thing that I will do. Then, obviously, I spend a lot of time marketing.
Right.
As well, you know. Because as an entrepreneur, obviously, like, you have to market. Hopefully one day when the business grows, then I will have some people that I can hire and do the marketing on my behalf. But then right now, I'm just a hustler. I'm like all in one.
Yeah.
I do like everything.
There we go. Look after yourself. Number one. So, I mean, I
go to gym, by the way.
You do
almost
go to
every
gym.
Day, I go to gym.
Do you find that helps? Oh, that's a silly question.
My man, I'm lifting weights. You see me last year when I met you, then now you will see a huge difference, man.
Yeah, that sharp suit that you're wearing, I don't think you're going to be able
to
fit into it
now.
Very cool. So, man, I know a lot of people are listening out there, and I've had the question a couple of times myself, but if someone wants to become a public speaker, youngsters obviously reach out and go like, hey, I want to speak on your stage at this event or that event. What does it take to become a public speaker? What does it take to stand up in front of thousands of youngsters or hundreds or sometimes just five and give them that motivation and the encouragement? What are some of the things that are needed in order to achieve that kind of success as a career?
I would say the most important thing, it's passion to help people. That's the most important thing. If you want to be famous, please go and be an actor somewhere, honestly speaking. But not the most important thing is that you must have passion to want to help people.
Right.
Because now, if you also want money, probably you might spend the next 8 years not really generating income. You know what I'm saying? So the most important thing, you have to have passion. Then the next thing, you need to be able to speak. You need to read.
Yeah.
As much as you can, like, follow all these great speakers and learn as much as possible. And you must be teachable. You must have a teachability spirit within you. Like, you can't be saying, no, like, you know it all. You can't know it all. So, number one, you have to have passion and read as much as possible and follow as many speakers as possible, and if you can get a speaker who has been there, who's doing it great, that can mentor you,
right.
A person that will really take you and show you the industry. I mean, as I speak right now, I've got a couple of mentors who are big in the speaking industry who are helping me a lot.
Right. No, that's fantastic. Okay, so you do too, have a mentor.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. You have to have a mentor.
You've got to have a mentor. People, listen up. You have got to have a mentor or someone that you look up to, aspire to, read the books of, watch the videos of, someone that you do have your own. And this is very important that we actually teach in our lessons, that you've got to have your own opinion.
Mm.
You've got to have your own thought about things, because there's so much fake news out there and so many other people's opinions. You've got to have your own opinion.
Yeah.
But to follow in someone else's footsteps and see roughly where they've taken steps along the path is really a good idea. Fred Bahasa in the studio with us on Inspired Youth SA here on CliffCentral.com.
You wanna hold my hand, wanna hold my hand, you wanna be my man, you wanna be my man, you say you wanna take me to Ghana, show me up to your mama, you say you wanna take me to Lagos, introduce me to Tiwa, take me to Dubane, I'm Kate Gale, I'm his African queen.
So we're talking to Fred Bahasu here in the studios on cliffcentral.com. Of course, the show is Inspired Youth. Engage with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. at Inspired Youth SA, or hashtag Inspired Youth SA, or at Dean Buerta, or Fred Bahasu, or of course, cliffcentral.com. So we're talking in the house with Fred. Fred, you were saying earlier on that you worked very hard and very tirelessly on an NGO. Tell us a little bit more about that, please.
Well, the NGO is called Bunang Baswa.
Okay.
So now, a couple of years ago, which would be 2004-5. So now what happened is that I went to the rural village where I was born, even though I never grew up there, but then I was born there and most of my family is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realized that there was a school that they did not really have much going on. You know, I mean, like, it's all about, like, finish your matric, then go to Joburg, Pretoria, wherever, and go complete your studies. There was really nothing much. No school awards, no matric dance, none. So now I started initiating this thing of a matric dance. I said, how about if we start a matric dance? But then now, the thing is that we could not do like your night matric dance, like your normal matric ball that you would do. It had to be during the night, during the day, because obviously they were going to reject it, forget about it. And they've never heard of a matric dance. It's only a few teachers that knew the matric dance. But then over, there was a show called Selma Twins on SABC 1 or something. So
okay.
Now they would show matric dance now and again. So now one or two teachers knew a little bit about the matric dance. But the majority of them, they had no idea about matric dance. Then I told them, look here, I will bring so-and-so from the media, from TV. And they were like, there is no way that those people can come to our village. I mean, this is a deep rural village.
Whereabouts is it?
It's in Limpopo, a place called Bochum.
Bochum.
There is a village called Ketswata there. It's
okay.
Like almost 500 kilometers from here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now then they were like, no, forget about this thing. It can't be done. It's impossible. I remember I also wrote it in one of my books. I remember the principal, he said, Fred, this book, this matric dance thing, it can't be done. We don't even have a subject called matric dance. Forget about it. Then the following year, I think this should be 2006, the beginning of 2006, I went back again to the school. I've done a couple of my homework. Then I said, look here, this is how this thing is going to benefit the school. And we also want to do the school awards as well. Obviously, it's going to encourage the other grades, like your grade 11s and downwards and so forth. So now, this is what we want to do. We also want to invite the family members, the parents and everyone. So now they gave us a go ahead. We did it, bang. That was the beginning of our movement to Bunang. And that year, actually, the matric of that year, I think they still hold the record of the highest pass rate on that year. So now then from there on, that's how our movement started. Then we started doing a whole lot of other initiatives, which, like, currently we're doing sanitary pads and sanitary cups.
Yeah.
So this is where, like, we will donate, like, your sanitary cups to these girls. But now we started with the sanitary pads, but now we saw, like, we wanted something that is sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, so now that's where we had to go for cups because they last for like 3 to 5 years, and we do like your prison visits. We'll do the talks there. We do talks with to like tens of thousands of schools across the country. And just last night, actually, around 12 midnight, I was on a call with a friend of mine from the US, and that call, it actually going to help a girl, for us to help take a girl to university. I mean, she's gonna, everything's gonna be paid for her and so forth. So we're also trying to help on that as well. And yeah, we're just trying to make the little difference that we can do.
Fred, you are making a difference. I actually saw that post on Facebook this morning, which I was actually quite impressed with, about you being able to help that youngster go through university. And I can see it in your eyes. I can just see this absolute passion for what it is that you do, you know. And I think that, you know, if we can revert back to the topic just now of 2018, it's a big year ahead. It's the beginning. The slate's wiped clean. Everyone has these high aspirations and high hopes and high deliverables that they've got to do. But at the end of the day, as you identified earlier on, all kind of comes down to you. Yeah. You know, like you manage your stuff. You look after your PR. You do this. You work all hours. You consume content. You reveal. You give blah, 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 blah. Mm. And there's a whole lot of stuff coming down, but it does come down to you. Mm. And I think one of the things that I think, and I hope a lot of our listeners out there are paying attention to, is that goals, I think, for this year are succeeding with financial freedom through following your passion. And I think a lot of people are doing that, certainly in the entrepreneurial nature or in the entrepreneurial world, where people are finding a passion that they are able to turn into a career and create their livelihood and obviously sleep well at night because you're doing something and giving something back. And then if you can earn your daily hamburger and your income and possibly even hit financial freedom through that, then we feel that you're kind of winning at life. Yeah. Is that, am I right in that?
Well, kind of, because
kind of will do. No, wouldn't be a good answer. But
yes. I mean, you correct. I definitely agree with you because I believe that we have to balance things. I mean, one cannot be a hero to the people outside while I'm being a zero to my own family. You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, first I have to be a hero to my daughter. I've got a very special daughter. She's turning like 7 on the, I mean, she's turning 1 on the 7th of Feb.
So you don't want to get those two confused. No. You don't want to get those two confused. She's turning 1 on the 7th of Feb. Okay,
yes.
So she's Aquarius.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So now, whatever that I do, I need to, I mean, I know that one day she's going to grow up and she's going to look back and she's going to look at the work that I would have done and that I will be doing and say, wow,
yes,
what an awesome guy this dude is. And I just have the coolest dad in the world. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't just want the people outside to say, wow, this guy, he's cool. But now when I get home, I'm like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
So I have to be a hero first to my family.
I like that. So it all starts at home. So the passion project comes from that, from your daughter realizing what kind of a man you really are.
It has to be.
And that sings to your heart and that creates your world.
Because, I mean, it won't make sense for me to take a girl, help a girl to go to university while my young sister can't go to school.
Exactly. Charity begins at home. You do need to look after yourself. And obviously, if that is the passion, that is what keeps you going and flying your flag until 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning, which I can't even imagine. I'm not that guy, but anyway, good on you. So looking obviously forward to your calendar and upcoming events that you've got going on, some of the insights that have come out of last year, and I'm just going to read them through rather slowly because I find them absolutely fascinating. You can find this all on pridefactor.co.za. We try and engage with everyone. Obviously, we'll have Fred's information on there as well. But insights as of, I think this is from June or July last year, 27 million South Africans are under the age of 24. So 50% of our country is actually under the age of 24. Now, youth is under the age of 35. And I regretfully leave my youth in 5 weeks' time, which is not exciting. But anyway, let's get back to the insight. So 27 million South Africans are under 24 years old. Half of them are very concerned about their future as to where they're going to go, what they're going to do, and how they're going to achieve it. 89% of them reckon that they have, and I quote, high aspirations and dreams. That's 89% of 27 million people have high aspirations and dreams, all right? And 4 out of 5 students, they reckon, are stressed about their studies and about future education within the country. 61% feel uninspired and demotivated. and 98% of them reckon that inspiration, guidance, and mentorship would assist them in their future. How about those stats? What does that say to you?
You know, those stats, they just hit the nail on the head. You know, Dean, the unfortunate part about our education system, it's not working. Yeah. Honestly speaking, it's not working until something drastic has been done. You know, what's happening is that our education system, this is happening. They spend 80% of their time, their resources, and their energy. Right. They spend 80%, this is the education system, it's spending 80% of these three things, which it's like they spend 80% of what, how can I put it? They're spending 80% of the time, energy, resources on the things that, the little things that will help one to succeed, which is actually the 20%. You know what I'm saying? So now they're supposed to spend it like the work that you're doing. You know, if honestly speaking, if I was the Minister of Education, I will make sure that what you're doing, the work that you're doing, I'll make sure that, look here, we pump a lot of resources, we pump a lot of money, and because that's exactly what young people need. Because 80% of the success of a human being, like all the successful, most wealthiest people, all successful people in the world, 80% of their time, I mean, their success, it's because of the attitude.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. And as you said, I think that's the 80-20 rule. A lot of people spend 80% of their time on 20% of where their success is actually going to come from. It's all the farting around in between, to be completely honest. As we've been talking about 2018 and what a year it is, and it's the year of the dog, and it's a number two year if you're into all that side of things. And we've got the dawn of Aquarius coming, all these super moons. I don't know how astronomical you are, but a lot of people play with that stuff. And it's a year of change. It's actually a year of transformation is what it is. So, you know, and it's on you. You guys out there to listening to this, like, get on with it. You know, make a difference. Make something of your lives. Leave behind that legacy project. And maybe now is a good time to start with something like that. So, Fred, to our listeners out there, I mean, obviously, you've got a lot of events coming up. You're saying now you don't really have your calendar on you at the moment. But where can people find you? Where can people find, more importantly, the events that you speak to? How can they engage with you? Where do we find Fred Bahasu?
Well, on all major social media, whether it will be your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all these major social media, I'm on there. It's simple, Fred Bahasu. And we do have a whole lot of programs that are coming. Like we've got some exciting seminar that are coming, high energy seminar. Not talking about your make some noise, and then the next thing people get out of there, they're just excited and they're not really empowered. So we're talking about real stuff that are
life changing stuff.
I'm sick and tired of just being a motivational speaker, speaker, just motivate people. But then we want to change the mindset of our people and take our continent forward.
So you provide some actual real-life content.
Real
stuff. As opposed
to
just, oh, I'm so excited, I want to go home now and build a treehouse. And you get home and you build a treehouse, and the next morning you wake up and say, oh, well, what do I do now? So, yeah, I like it a lot. So everyone can find you online. Keep up with the diary and the calendar that you guys have got set together there, obviously with the NGO side of things too. So do check that out, guys. Come on to pridefactor.co.za or find us on Inspired Youth, Club Central. Look for Fred Bahasu, our... one of Africa's 100 most influential young people of 2017, South African Men of the Year in the Youth Division, Leadership SA, Hero of the Month, the list goes on. He's a speaker, a hustler, a life changer, a mentor, and just an all-round nice guy, Fred. I love having you in the studio, buddy, and I love having you on my stage, more importantly.
Thank you.
So if I can just end off with that, guys, we've just landed a deal, Pride Factor's just landed a deal with the High School Career Expo, and we're going to be going traveling around the country this year. It should be a couple of road shows, but if you are in the area, February we are in Krugersdorp on the 23rd and the 24th. In March we're in Cape Town on the 15th, an event called Business Boost. We're also going to be at Cavendish Square on the 23rd and the 24th. And then in April, we're going to be in Durban for the High School Career Expo at the Pavilion. But all that information is available on our website, pridefactor.co.za. Do come and engage with us. Do find out what's going on. We're looking for collaborations. We're looking for more people like Fred. We're looking for youngsters out there that want to come and engage with us and basically share a passion and find out how together we can change the world. So Fred, in ending, firstly, thank you very, very much for joining us on the show and for Ubering all the way from Pretoria while your car's sitting at the garage. I really pity you there, buddy. But in ending, obviously, the normal old thing, what are some of your wise words for the people listening out there as to how to possibly ensure that 2018 is a year of success, happiness, and prosperity? What can you give them? What are some words of wisdom?
Honestly speaking, I can say very nice words, very inspiring words, but then without anybody taking action, they are useless. You know, the most important thing it's action. You have to be a hustler. You have to go out there and knock on those doors. Don't be afraid to fail. We've failed so many times. Even now, people are still rejecting us. Who are you to complain? Baby Jake Matala said in his autobiography, he said, it is not the equipment that makes you a champion, but to be a world champion, you need to want it from the heart. And if you can want it from the heart, you will find a way to get it.
Love it.
You have to do it.
Love it. Everyone in studio is just sitting here nodding their heads. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Bahasu in studio on cliffcentral.com for Inspired Youth SA. Listen up, listen in. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Fred, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
This is cliffcentral.com.